Let's, if you have your Bibles, matter of fact, if you have your Bibles, go get your Bible if you don't have a Bible. Go, you're home, go get it. Go get it. You have a lap, you can put it in your lap, or you might have a table you can look at, open it up on the table. Go get it. Hurry. Faster. Just kidding, I don't know how fast you're going. You may all have it, I don't know, because we're not together. The Word of God is important. The Word of God is valuable. Today, this message is, thank God for the Bible. We're going to look at a few scriptures that show us some wonderful things that and why God gives us His Word. If you have your Bibles, turn with me there in real close to the middle in Psalm 33, verse 4. Psalm 33, verse 4. For the word of the Lord holds true. Everything God says is true. He doesn't speak just to hear Himself talk. God, whatever He says, He means and He will do. And we can trust everything He does. Because, you see, those two are tied hand in hand because God's not a man that He should lie. He's whatever He says He's going to do. And we can trust Him for that. We can trust that He is going to do that. Let's look at the next verse. We've got a few verses out of Psalm 119. This is a wonderful chapter to kind of spur our hearts along and become more in love with the Word of God. And I want to pull out a few scriptures out of this chapter. Psalm 119, verse 11. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Check that out. I have hidden your word in my heart. And that word for hidden, or some of you, the King James, I believe it says hid. I've hid your word in my heart. That's also kind of a treasuring it up. Treasure His word in our heart. We take that in and we allow the word of God to nourish us. But look at what it says. This is one reason that we can be thankful for the word of God, because here He says, basically, if I will hide your word in my heart, it will help me to keep me from sin. Isn't that important? Sin is bad. The word is good. The word is good and sin is bad. So if we have the word, guess what? If we value the word, if we treasure God's word, and if we will hide it in our hearts, then the word of God will help us to avoid sin. And matter of fact, I believe that the word will give us wisdom to avoid some situations that you would otherwise have been in. But the word will give us wisdom and we won't even be there for that sin to come knocking on our door. Then other times, sin is still going to be knocking. It's just certain kinds and certain temptations. But whenever that temptation comes, I'm sorry, then we can turn and say, no, that's not who I choose to be. I'm choosing to live for Jesus. I'm choosing to honor God because I love Him, because I see who He is in His Word, and I want to make this life that I'm living, I want it to honor Him with everything that I am. We need to hide God's word in our heart. That is, I think, not limited to, but that can be memorizing God's word. It's very likely that some of you listening to me today, you only open the Bible on Sundays at church. Don't let that be. Listen, I'm not trying to beat you up with it. Today we're thankful for the word of God. If that's been you, then let that be the past. Move on. Figure something out. Look, you can get online and get on your phone, in your apps, you can find a Bible. You can find a Bible that you can read daily, and in there is likely going to be a devotional. That will help you. Just check that out each day. I would encourage you to find a time and a place each day, specific time and a place, kind of get in a routine to open up the Word of God. It works a lot better when you can do that. The next scripture we're going to is Psalm 119, verse 28. Again, the previous one helps us, God's word. We're thankful for God's word because it helps us not to sin. And in this one, look, we've all been there. It says, I weep with sorrow. We've all been there. We've all been down in the dumps. We've all struggled with something. We've all been upset, bothered, worried by something. And that kind of can crush your heart and your spirit, doesn't it? It says, I weep with sorrow. Oh, encourage me by your word, Lord. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, there's been times where I opened up that Bible and that's what I needed. I needed something to encourage me because, yeah, my heart was down and my heart was low. And the word of God encouraged me and helped me remember that, hey, it's about Jesus. It's about who he is. It's about what he's done. And even though we might weep with sorrow, God, would you encourage us with your word? We're thankful today because God's word can bring encouragement to us. The next verse in Psalm 119, verse 105. Psalm 119 is also the longest chapter in the Bible. Here it says, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. That's awesome. The word of God is like a light. It's like a lamp so that we can see which way to travel, so that we can see which way to walk, but we can see where we're going. How many of you have experienced that before where you've been in the Word and God directed your steps because of something that he led you to in the Scriptures? And it doesn't even matter if you're on a reading plan or you're just going from front to back a couple chapters at a time. God is in charge of everything and he can work that out and it'll be the right Scriptures on the right day. It's incredible. Praise God. He wants to guide your path, and the Word of God will shine light so that we know where to go. And we can know how God would choose for us to respond to different things. It's incredible. Incredible, but we've got to be in the Word. We've got to be in it. More than I give you on Sundays, you got to be in it yourself. That's a big book. It's a big book. There's 66 chapters. Psalm 119, verse 162. I like this. I rejoice in your word like one who discovers a great treasure. I rejoice in your word. Now, this is a prayer. This is a song that he's singing to the Lord. He's not singing it to somebody else. He's singing it to the Lord. Like, I rejoice, God, in your word. And look what he says. He mentions treasure. I wonder if you knew that there was treasure buried in your backyard, how quickly you would go buy a shovel and go dig up your backyard to find that treasure. I'm going to step on your toes a little bit. I love you. Everybody say thank you. There's treasure in here. There is treasure in here. Your shovel is your eyes. Open it up. Read it and receive of it and let the word of God change and transform who we are and into who he wants us to be. There's treasure in here. You don't need to go buy anything else, but you know what? We'd spend a lot of money. Some of you might say, forget the shovel, I'm going to go get an excavator. So then go get you a study Bible or something that will help you to read and study and understand the word of God. I'm telling you, there's treasures in there. It's wonderful. God will refresh you. He will challenge you. He's going to correct you in the word of God. As we read it, we'll say, oh dear me, I'm in trouble. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about, where the Holy Spirit has convicted your heart while reading the word of God. And you say, oh man, I've got to do better right there. Lord, help me. Lord, forgive me and help me. And that's what the word of God is for. It's wonderful. It's awesome. It is treasure. I'm telling you. So if you'd go dig up your backyard to find a buried treasure, listen, that stuff's going to, you can't take that stuff with you in heaven. Even if it was full of all gold pieces, you can't take that to heaven with you. But you can take the word of God with you because it transforms who we are on the inside and even on the outside. Praise God. So let's receive of the word of God. Let's hunt for that buried treasure. But Pastor, I don't understand the word. I get it. Just keep reading. Keep reading. And, you know, it also you also do well, if you haven't ever read any of the scripture before, you also will do well to start in specific places. I would encourage you to start in any of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, really any of them. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are a lot of overlapping accounts that happened in all of those, and John's a little bit different. I would just encourage you to start in one of those. If you want a quick win, go with Mark. A lot of powerful things that happen in through the book of Mark, through Jesus' ministry, and this is some counsel, some wisdom there. Instead of reading the so-and-so begat so-and-so and so-and-so begat so-and-so, because those names are hard to pronounce for me as well. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40. This is still Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. The grass withers, and it's doing that outside now. The grass withers, and the flowers, they fade. But the word of our God stands forever. How incredible is that? The words that our God speaks, they're always going to remain. They're going to stand forever. And, you know, in reality, you can take that to the bank. You can take what he says to the bank. Someone else, maybe not so. But our God, whatever he says, you can be assured that he is going to keep his word. He is going to do what he says he's going to do. And listen, church, Paul writes over and over, Jesus said he's coming back. We know that's the case. He said it. He is going to do it. Now it's just a matter of timing, right? So we're waiting. We're waiting. But let us not wait and do nothing. Let us wait and reach the lost. Let us wait and enjoy his presence. Enjoy prayer time. Enjoy life of prayer. Enjoy worshiping his name. And enjoy and pass it on to others. Amen? So God's word is going to stand forever. Isaiah 45 verse 23, the prophet speaking the Lord's message, and so basically he was speaking for God, and God was saying, I have sworn by my own name, I have spoken the truth, and I will never go back on my word. Yeah, doesn't that explain God really well? He's going to say what he means, and he's going to do what he says. He's not going to go back on his word. But look at the word that he gives here. And matter of fact, this is also two times in the New Testament, in Romans chapter 14, also in Philippians chapter 2, this last part. Every knee will bend to me, God says. In other words, hey, y'all can take this one to the bank. Every knee is going to bend to me. Every tongue will declare allegiance to me. Every tongue will declare that I am God. How incredible is that? I promise you that's going to happen. It's not because of me. It's because of him. He said it. It's going to happen. I used to think that God was going to have to force everybody to acknowledge him and bend their knee. But I think that's incorrect. I think that he'll be revealed and we'll say, oh, dear Lord, you're incredible. Beyond incredible. And people just fall to the ground, bowing their knee and saying, you are God. You are God. Clearly there's no other. How incredible. Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. Heaven and earth will disappear. This place is going to disappear. And our bodies are even going to disappear. And that nice deer rack that you're hoping to put on the wall here in the next few weeks, sir, that you got this weekend, it's going to disappear. Sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but really I'm a bearer of good news. Because he goes on and says, but my words will never disappear. Are you getting the picture this morning? God's word is truth. God's word will stand forever, where everything else, the brand new car, the brand new boat, the house with the fresh paint job on it, it's all going to disappear. I'm not saying we don't need those things. I'm not saying it's wrong to have any of those things. What I'm saying is there's something way more important. Make sure that we are rich in Christ and not paupers, not poor. Make sure that we're rich in him. Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. Not Chad's words, his words. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. Put on salvation as your helmet. And this is this passage right here. Paul is writing to other believers. In this passage, he's talking about the armor of God. You need to wear the armor of God, church. And here he talks about the helmet of salvation, but we're going to the last part. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit. Imagine with me, you're pulling out a sword. And really, it's this, because look. And take the sword of the Spirit. The sword of who? The Spirit. Well, I thought we said this was God's word. Yes, the Holy Spirit is God. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. So this is as like a sword in battle, spiritual battle. Don't dare say that Pastor Chad's giving you the okay to hit somebody with this as if it was a sword. I know there are times where we want to do something like that, but I'm telling you to refrain. We want to love people because that's what this tells us. If you don't believe me, go back and read it. Read what Jesus said. Jesus said some incredible things. If you didn't catch it there, go and read John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. John, man, he lays it on heavy. If you don't love people, then you don't love God, is basically what he says. Ouch. Ouch. Sometimes it's not easy to love, is it? When people don't do what we want them to do, right? Ouch. Read this word. It is a sword. It is a sword. And you know what? We do well to live the word. And many of you have heard the statement, you know, you might be the only Bible somebody else reads. So let our life reflect who God is. Let our lives reflect that and show who God is in our life, that, hey, there's something different about you. Matter of fact, that's one of the things that got me on fire for the Lord years ago, is I saw some other guys and they, I kind of watched. I had known them a little bit and I had watched. God changed them. And I said, God, I don't know what that is, but I want some. I want some of that. Change me. Or are we like this? You can't change me. Oh, yes, he can. And it's way better when we say, okay, Lord, I just want to be more like you, instead of, I'm immovable. You're supposed to be immovable in some ways. In faith, okay? And Paul even writes that in one of his letters. But let us not be stubborn against the Holy Spirit. God's word is like a sword. Hallelujah. Moving along in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. Paul writes to this young minister and says, and because I preach this good news, I am suffering and have been chained like a criminal. Paul had been arrested and put in prison. And so he's writing this letter to a friend, but look what he says here at the end. He's saying, yeah, because I preach the gospel, I've been suffering, and I've been chained like a criminal. But the word of God can never be chained. It doesn't matter if they outlaw it, say that it's illegal. You cannot chain the word of God. Let the word of God be hidden in our hearts so that we might not sin against God. Let the word of God be hidden in our hearts that we might pursue him, that we might know him and draw closer and closer to him. Hope you're getting this today. Hebrews chapter 4, love this passage. The word of God is alive and powerful, or alive and active, or alive and productive. Say productive with me. The word of God is alive and productive. Emily, will you go get the door? The word of God is alive and powerful / productive. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword. The word of God is sharper than the sharpest of two-edged sword. Okay, look at that. The it's a two-edged sword. And many of you know what we're talking about here. It's a sword that has not just one edge that's been filed down or hammered down with an edge on it. It's got an edge on both sides. The interesting thing about that is, really, it doesn't matter which side you're on, the Word of God can still cut you, can still impact you. So whether we're on Jesus' side or whether we're not, the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Cutting, look at this, cutting between soul and spirit, the Word of God, and it is alive and it is sharp. It's not like any other book, anything else that's written. It's the words of God. And it is sharper than any two-edged sword. And check it out. It cuts. It discerns. It divides between soul and spirit. The Word of God is so important. It is so active. It is so powerful that it can go where nothing else can go. It can speak to our hearts in ways that the pastor can't, except by the Spirit of God. Now see, the Holy Spirit's going to use His Word, or He's going to use my words from time to time to impact our hearts, to impact our lives, or maybe someone else who is serving Jesus. He can use those. But see, the Word of God is super important. And today we're being thankful because of the Word of God. You see, it can cut, it can divide between soul and spirit. It goes on. It can divide and cut between joint and marrow. Where's marrow? Isn't it inside the bone? Well, how does it get there? How does the Word of God get there? By receiving it, by receiving the Word, by hearing the Word, but listen, also by believing the Word, because James says, hey, don't just hear it. Don't just listen to the Word. Do it. Do what the Word tells you to do. Otherwise, you're just deceiving yourself, right? The Word of God is extremely powerful and is extremely important. And today we're thankful for the Word of God. The Word of God also here at the last sentence, it exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Now, I love this because the Word of God is alive and active. You see, these are words that God put on these pages. Oh, yeah, He used men and women to do it. He used over 40 different authors, approximately 1,600 years to write this book. Not that God needed that much time, but that's just the way He chose to do it. And here's the interesting thing. When you're reading along, the Holy Spirit knows who you are. He knows where you are. He knows what's going to motivate you. And when we are in the Word of God, or when we hear the Word of God, our hearts can be challenged because the Holy Spirit, again, knows right where we are. He knows what we're into, what we're not into. He knows what we do, what we don't do. He knows what we say, what we don't say, what we think, and what we don't think. And so when we're reading through the Word of God, the Holy Spirit's going to highlight some of that stuff from time to time and say, hey, that's why it's alive and active. Because the Holy Spirit works in conjunction with His Word. It's His Word. It's God's Word, and He can do whatever He wants. And it's wonderful because He does that stuff. Why? Because He wants us to become more and more like Jesus. He wants us to shine brightly for Him. He wants us to make a difference in our world. He wants to make a difference in us and through us as well to someone else. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. That's why it cuts, and that can both hurt and feel great at the same time. So, again, this sword is not really going to cut you. Not like a regular, like a pocket knife or otherwise, but it will cut, and it will work on the inside. Praise God. Don't we all need that? Absolutely. I'm not perfect yet. Paul said, hey, I haven't attained it, but what am I doing? I'm pressing on. I'm continuing on. I'm going forward. Don't tell me that Paul didn't know his scripture. Paul was sharp. Paul had a lot of understanding that God had given him through the Word of God. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're coming to a close. Emily, if you'll get ready here in a moment. All Scripture is inspired by God. That word inspired is that all Scripture is breathed by God. It's God's breath. Isn't that awesome? How it originates from Him and not anyone else, not anything else. It's wonderful. God's word is inspired by God. He's the one who gave it to us. Hallelujah. I'm thankful today for His word. It helps us. It guides us. As we already read, it shines a light on our path for our feet so we know which way to go, not to trip up. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful. Look at that. The word of God is useful. Some of you didn't know that. Absolutely, it's useful. But what's it useful for? Look, it's useful to teach, which is what I'm doing today. It's useful to teach us what is true and make us realize what is wrong in our lives. Yeah, many of us have been there. We know what that feels like. We know what that's like. And that's a wonderful thing. Listen, the church doesn't exist so that we can just point fingers at somebody else. The church doesn't exist for that. What we're saying is, hey, God wrote this. He's the author of it. Everything is His. It all belongs to Him. We've turned our backs on Him and we need to come back to Him. It's all for Him. But what He wants to do is to draw us to Himself. And He's going to use His word to do that. He's going to use other people to do that so that we can simply know Him and be with Him forever. That's exciting. His word is inspired. He inspired it. It's useful to teach us what is true, what is wrong in our life. Matter of fact, Paul writes in one of his other letters to one of the other churches saying, you know, the law really is there to just help us see what's wrong. It's kind of like a mirror, is the way he described it. The law is like a mirror. And what do we do when we go look in the mirror? We make sure that our buttons aren't you know, wrong. Don't have one tie up higher than supposed to. And make sure that our hair is going the right way. And the other day I had one sticking up back here, doing the alfalfa thing. The mirror was helpful. I said, oh dear, I got to get that down. And so look at the Word of God. If the Word of God is a mirror for us, as Paul says that it is, then it shows us where the hair's sticking up, or where the shirt's not right, or when our belt buckle is turned too much to the side, or stained on something, you know? And that's what the Word of God is to show us. So if we don't, and that might be one of the reasons why we're not in the Word, is because we don't want Him to point anything out. But that's only a cop-out. That's not wanting to grow. But shouldn't your heart be saying, yes, Lord, I want to be more and more like You. I need who for You to speak to my heart so that I can become all that You want me to be. I want to know You more. And when we're not searching for Him like a treasure, then we're not going to get any of that. But His Scripture is inspired. His Scripture is useful. It teaches us what's true. It makes us realize what is wrong in our lives. Look also, it corrects us. Oh yeah, raise your hand if you'd like to be corrected. Just kidding. Didn't think we'd have very many raise their hands for that one. Nobody likes that. It doesn't feel good. Because guess what? We take it normally as I was wrong. And you know what? When the Lord corrects us, then that's probably how we ought to take it. And learn from it and grow. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. See how useful the Word of God is? It's super important to our daily life. Notice I said daily life. In other words, we don't just look at it one time a week when you come to church. I dare you. I double dog dare you. Open this rascal up. Begin to read it. You don't have to read for hours. I would just challenge you, if you're just starting out, read it for 5 minutes. Maybe read one chapter. That might take 5 to 10 minutes. But don't just try to rush through it like, okay, I did it. and I'm done. Let the Lord speak to you through it. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. And you know what? If you have questions, questions are good. That's how we learn. That's the whole purpose, is that we learn and that we grow, right? Today we're thankful for the Word of God. The last verse we're going to look at is a continuation of verse 16. Speaking of the Word, God uses it, the Word, to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. He uses His Word to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. Isn't that awesome? What did Jesus use when He was tempted by the devil? He used the Word. He used the Word. Oh, guess what? The devil knows the Word too. We learn that when we look at Jesus' temptations. Because the devil said, oh, the Bible says, the Scripture says, the Word of God says, and Jesus said, no, you're twisting that, buddy. No. So, we're going to, you've got your Bibles, so I want you, here's what we're going to do. We're going to raise them up real high together. And we're going to tell God thank you for His Word. And we're going to ask God, okay? Listen, I'm all about putting this stuff into practice. And then we're going to worship in one last song before we conclude. Are you thankful for the Word of God today? Are you thankful that God gave us His Holy Word? Are you thankful that He uses it to cut away some of that yucky in our hearts? I'm thankful. I'm thankful. Father, we thank You for Your Word today. We are so grateful that You have given us Your Word. And Lord, we honor You. We thank You for it. We thank You that it can encourage us. We thank You that it can expose our innermost thoughts and desires. We're thankful, God, that Your Word can be like a lamp to our feet and to our path. And Lord, we're thankful that when we can hide Your Word in our hearts, God, that we won't sin against You. That's what we want. We don't want to be sinning. We want to be running after You with nothing in the way. So let Your Word speak life to us. Let Your Word challenge us. Let Your Word correct us, oh God. Lord, you see the Bibles of those raising their Bibles up in their homes. You see those hearts this morning. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that You would create a hunger in us for this Word, for more of it. And Lord, that we would hide it in our heart, that we would treasure what it says. And that we would implement certain things in our life to help us to figure out the Word of God more and more, to be in it, to read it, to consider what it says, to chew on that. Oh, Holy Spirit, we're thankful today that You use Your Word to draw us closer to You. We're so grateful. Thank You that Your Word is a standard in our lives. It is there to help us to know how we ought to live and also to know how we shouldn't live. We thank You for Your Word, God. It is wonderful. It is precious. And we're so grateful for it today. Thank You for giving us Your Word. Now, Lord, I ask that You administer to the heart this morning. Those who haven't been in the Word, may they make a decision today, a commitment to just begin to read that, to begin to read Your Word. And Holy Spirit, I ask that You would begin to transform their lives, transform the way they've been thinking into a way that You want them to think, the way that they just move in their hearts through the Word of God. Draw us closer to You. Father, You're wonderful. We acknowledge You today. Help us to live for You day after day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At home, will you worship with us in this last song? You don't have anywhere else that you got to be that's that important. Worship with us. One last song, because He's worthy. Let's do that.